education you need to take your marriage, family, and personal life to the next level.
Weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. So welcome to you new listeners, people that were just turning their radio dial, or listeners that are setting their alarms and getting up every week. I just returned from the EWTN Radio Conference in Birmingham, Alabama. It was a great pleasure to meet all of you station owners and station managers and those people who are looking to develop a station in their city. It's just been a wonderful experience to be with everyone and get some feedback and just to see everybody in the flesh rather than just hearing their voices. So it was a pleasure to be with all of you. And for those of you that are listeners, just know that there's a great future in Catholic radio. We're growing so quickly. More and more people are finding ways to open stations in their areas, as you hear us announce regularly, but it's so, so exciting to be part of Catholic Radio. So thanks for waking up this morning and being here with us, and I'm here to help you with your personal problems. No one is without problems. The world is like that. Things are not perfect here ever since original sin, since the Garden of Eden. So maybe it's not as bad as Adam and Eve. I know their oldest son, Cain, killed Abel. It might not be that bad in your house, but there are a lot of things going on that we don't know how to handle. We need that Christian application. What would Jesus do with this extended family problem or with these relatives? Or how can I recover this marriage? Well, if you need some help, some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective, this is what I'm here for. My name is Colleen Kelly Mast, and my background is in family life education. And I have an honorary doctorate degree in humane letters and four teaching certificates, health science, physical education, and theology. I have a master's degree in health education. So I look at the whole person when we're looking at solving our problems of the day. So I invite you to call with your question or personal problem, because your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are today. The number is 877-573-7825. Now, people had mentioned when I met them and that listened to the show regularly, they said they were always appreciative of how kind that I was to people on the show. And it is, and I wanted to mention something about kindness. First, I want to tell you a funny story that I tell when I'm giving my talk called The Four Heart Healthy Habits of Holiness. That's the keynote address that some of you have heard. If I give the keynote address at your fundraising banquet or at one of the retreats that I give in your area, and that's where I sing my song, These Are a Few of My Favorite Sins, earlier in the talk. But there's one story I tell that is about kindness, and it just reminded me of that when people say, how do you get so kind? Well, it's not natural, because I grew up in a family where people were not necessarily kind, but you can become kind and treat people kindly by the grace of God and some work. And most of those things, most of those virtues we want to acquire do take work and grace. But this story that I like to tell is about a new produce clerk at the supermarket. And a customer asked this new produce clerk if she could buy a half a grapefruit. So, not knowing what to do because he was new, he excused himself. Say, just a moment, ma'am. I will find out. I have to ask the manager. So this new produce clerk goes back in the where the manager is behind the counters, And he says to his manager, he says, "Hey, some nut out there wants to buy half a grapefruit." And then suddenly he realized that the customer had followed him back there and had entered the office behind him. Okay, you're probably sitting there thinking, well, that wasn't that kind. No. And then when he saw that the lady had followed him back there, he said, "And this lovely lady would like to buy the other half." Good cover, right? Well, the story even continues. The manager was so impressed by the way the clerk amicably resolved the problem that they later started chatting. And so the store manager asked the clerk, "Hey, where are you from?" And the clerk said, "Well, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, home of ugly women and great hockey teams." And the manager says, "Oh, my wife is from Lancaster." And the clerk, without skipping a beat, said, "Oh, what team was she on?" Well, there's a guy who didn't start out kind, but he covered well. He was a quick thinker. And so even without thinking, we can train ourselves to be kind. We can actually, I have mentioned a book on the show years ago called The Hidden Power of Kindness. It's a whole book on how to be kind. There are 237 pages of how to be kind. And on my website at sexrespect.com, under resources, and then under resources on my blog, I even have a kindness quiz. Actually, I gave that quiz last week when I was speaking in Texas, talking about building the domestic church in our homes and having fun doing it. But so I have that posted on my blog under resources on my website, the kindness quiz. 8 questions you can ask yourself to see how kind are you. Do you give kind words to others? You know, certainly truthful, but are you kind to others? You know, do you refrain from that violent backfire or haughtiness when someone says something to you? You know, do you always live in gratitude for God? Do you speak encouraging words to others? Do you always, like, speak kindly of others and help build up their reputation rather than take it down? Do you praise people without just, you know, dishonest flattery, that you truly look for the good in them? Do you, you know, keep from criticizing others? You know, do you not correct things that are unnecessary to correct? You know, think of how delicate you can be when you are speaking to others in your family or others at work, so that you can truly express that goodness and kindness of Jesus. And if you're struggling because you hang around, or your family was always, you know, sarcastic and bitter and uncharitable or gossipy in their speech, or just always coming back quickly and put a person down, and you didn't know if they were putting you down or if they were really kidding, and then they say, "Oh, I'm kidding," but you already hurt, then think of how to speak kindly. Practice speaking kindly. Look at the Gospels and see how Jesus approached people. We also learned a lot of kind speech from Pope Francis. You know, he speaks kind words to others and always draws people in. So think of how you can make peace in your family, not say anything that is uncharitable, give encouraging words to others, even when you're correcting people. For example, St. Vincent de Paul and St. Francis de Sales were both very, very kind, even in correcting the monks that they were responsible for, that they would always sandwich things. My husband calls it the Oreo effect, but they would always sandwich even a correction in between two very good things. And I also practice this with my teenagers. I mentioned when I was speaking in Texas about building the domestic church in your home, when my kids were in adolescence, and sometimes they don't listen as carefully or don't want to sit and talk, but I would write them letters each month to let them know what virtues they seem to be practicing well, and then any virtues they still needed to work on. But they would look forward to the letter because they knew that I would notice you were extra kind to your brothers and sisters. You were very generous in helping babysit this month. Or I saw that you were, you know, very understanding when your friend came over. You know, so to build up others, build up your children, even adult children, you could send them letters of what you appreciate about them rather than how you're, you know, judging them rashly or condemning something. So when you're trying to be kind, what many of the saints have said is first think of your own faults and think of God's mercy and think of how much God has forgiven you. And then think of how you can be God's love to the next person. Even when you're correcting them, especially when you're praying for them, and know that speaking unkindly about others is not Christian. It's what we should not be doing. And this morning's readings in the Feast of St. Anthony Mary Claret, we learn in the St. Paul's letter to the Romans that Jesus has freed you from the sin of law and death. So we are not bound to how our parents spoke to us or how the people at work speak to us or how our spouse speaks to us. We are bound to the love of Christ. So the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. We can live by the Spirit and not by the flesh, as St. Paul said to the Romans. And kindness is the beginning of that. We know that in Ephesians, St. Paul says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not put on airs. But when I'm speaking to families, I will mention that even if we just did those first two things, love is patient, love is kind. If we managed perfect patience and perfect kindness, how well would we represent Jesus to the people that we work with, the people in our neighborhood, the people in our families, our best friends? So, it's Saturday, a day you could go to confession for all those unkind, critical things that you've said to others or unkind remarks that you've made or putting people down or hurting their feelings. So, know that God's mercy is here for all of us, but it's time to think about how kind are we? What is kindness, and how can we treat others as Jesus did when he approached people in the gospel, always with kindness? Even, you know, that woman at the well, when he met with her and knew everything about her, you know, the woman caught in adultery, Matthew, the tax collector, he didn't even condemn Judas when he knew Judas was going to betray him at the Last Supper. He says, you know, go ahead and do what you need to do. And, you know, because Jesus knew what was in his heart, and it was betrayal. But still, every time Jesus approached someone, it was always with the ultimate kindness. So let's see how kind we can be and not just give good to somebody only when we're going to get something back, or, you know, only be kind to somebody when we want their attention. But really give out that love of Christ. Be generous with your capacity to love. Be generous with your kindness and ask God to help you see and hear those things that you say that are not kind, and ask him for those words of kindness. And I hope that helps all families and all relationships. Think if you only spoke to your spouse in a kind way. Work for all of us, isn't it? Kindness. Love is patient. Love is kind. Well, you give me a call today with your question or personal problem, and you drive the show. You decide what the topics are today, and we can chat. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, the growing popularity of icons is a good thing in the church today, both East and West. This is all the more reason to preserve the integrity of how icons are seen, used, and created.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
The Heart to Heart Apostolate meets this Thursday the 29th at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. Dr. Mary Healy is an associate professor of scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit and an internationally known speaker. If you're having difficulty interpreting passages in the Bible, this talk will give inspiration and tools for reading scripture every day in conversation with God. That's this Thursday starting at 7:30 p.m. at Lobby H of Domino's Farms. All adults are welcome. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
On our next Christ is the Answer program, Father Ricardo has an important question. The correct answer is life-saving. Our eternity depends on it. The question, why be Catholic? Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 7, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net and the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Welcome to Masked Appeal, the Saturday morning show where you can get some free and friendly advice. Where else can you get friendly and free advice? And good advice, too. Sometimes life-changing advice, sometimes just the next step to take on your journey. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Masked Appeal, here to help you today. So give me a call, 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your Catholic faith. Our first caller today is Patricia from Texas. Welcome to the show, Patricia. How can I help you today?
Oh, good morning. Thank you. I was just wondering, how can you do as a person help out with these kids that are gender confused? Children, young children, mm-hmm. and, you know, through the daily encounters, etc.
Okay. How to help out a boy who is, who's gender confused, did you say?
Quite both genders, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how old is he, Patricia?
I would say around 11, 10.
Okay, all right. And this is not an uncommon thing, unfortunately, to happen today, that there is a lot of gender confusion due to what's going on in the culture as well as what's going on in our environment and in terms of hormones and things like that. So it is important to help mold a child toward the gender that is their basic science, and that is not harmful, as people might tell you in political correctness, but it's actually helpful to that child. So there are things you can do as a parent to help a child that might be a bit confused about their gender right now, because it's not going to help them to try to follow their emotions or their feelings when they have to secure their gender identity. First of all, I want to mention a book that I read a long time ago, actually, before I wrote my revised my Love and Life books. And the gender confusion today has some clinical answers to it in a couple places. One is the research of Dr. Joseph Nicolosi, and he offers some practical advice for parents who might be concerned about helping secure their child's gender identity. And it's called A Parent's Guide to Preventing Homosexuality. And in this book, he talks about different research on, you know, some of the antecedents of homosexuality. So, A Parent's Guide to Preventing Homosexuality. There's also a website called NARTH, the National Association for the Research and Therapy of Homosexuality, that is a conglomerate of different scientists, psychologists, sociologists, different counselors that can help people who are struggling with gender identity issues. But for the sake of what you can do right in your home, first remember that because of the acceptance of homosexual activity in the secular culture, a lot more teens wonder if even like a simple attraction or even a deep friendship with somebody of the same sex that they think they might have homosexual tendencies. But we need to assure our kids that that's generally not often the case. Quite often their feelings are something like, you know, friendship or admiration, and that every relationship doesn't have to be sexualized or lead to romance or sexual attraction. So first of all, teach him about chastity and faithfulness and the purpose of his body, but also help him recognize any behavior that might need to be masculinized in certain ways. One, you might want to check and get him hormone tests, because if he's 11, he might be approaching puberty soon. For boys, it's usually a little bit later than that. But I would first take him to a doctor and see if they're an understanding doctor, you know, a Catholic doctor, or, you know, maybe somebody that is on one of the lists of pro-life doctors, and have him check to make sure his hormones are all lined up properly, or maybe he needs some hormone treatment. But no, you're not helpless in that. I have read from different men's groups and different father-son books about different adventure retreats or just the activities that, whether even if he doesn't like sports, to get him involved in something that he does like that increases his testosterone levels, his physical activity, for example, whether he wants to do something more personal like swimming or martial arts, or if he wants to participate in something more like a team sport like track and field or football or soccer. But often sports competition and other opportunities for interior toughness, you know, like my one son used to carry more books than he had to carry home just so he could get stronger. So those help develop their masculinity. So in Dr. Joseph Nicolosi's book, he helps parents learn how to recognize behaviors that are counterproductive to their living out their gender. But as a mom, you might find other uncles or neighbors or good coaches or youth group leaders, someone who can be a good male role model for them and challenge him to start growing into a man, helping his testosterone grow through a lot of, you know, physical activity, tough things, and help him to develop that interior toughness that he needs. Now, it's not to say that a man that is fully a man and thinks like a man can't have creative tendencies and can't have, wonderful qualities that both men and women have. But if he's confused right now, just help him develop that interior toughness, that external toughness, and help him understand that every, you know, friendship or admiration isn't necessarily a sexual relationship. And so maybe get Dr. Joseph Nicolosi's book, A Parent's Guide to Preventing Homosexuality, or check out the website NARTH, NARTH, the National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality, and read some of the research and see what other of those things can help you. Okay, Patricia?
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. You have a great day, too. Thanks for the call. I remember someone one time called me off the air and asked if I would speak of this. It was someone whose son was wanted to wear his sister's underwear and pajamas. And it was such, he was trying to make a secret out of it, actually. And so he would take her silky underwear and would put it on and then go hide under the bed or, you know, hide under the covers where nobody could see him. And she wanted to know if this was a problem, if he would outgrow it, and things like this, especially in today's culture and today's, as I said, the environment where we are drinking water that still has refuse from millions of women's birth control pills in the water, and the environment has xenoestrogens in it. Our cows are pumped with estrogen to get fatter sooner so we can have big beef steaks. Our chickens are pumped with estrogen. So we have a lot of estrogen around, and what some researchers will call xenoestrogens, other things, pollutants and fertilizers that act like estrogens. So be not surprised if we see more men with feminine tendencies just because of either the xenoestrogens or estrogens in our culture. But behaviorally, as I mentioned to Patricia, there's testosterone therapy and there are physical things that we can do as you can do as men to develop more testosterone in your body. And a lot of that is that tough labor, that fast running, that physical muscle building, and do those things that help you feel more like a man. Well, thanks for the call, Patricia. We'll be back at 877-573-7825 in just a moment.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. In his address to the United States Congress, Pope Francis declared, quote, "If we want security, let us give security. If we want life, let us give life. The yardstick we use for others will be the yardstick which time will use for us. The Golden Rule also reminds us of our responsibility to protect and defend human life at every stage of its development," end quote. The Pope here gives a very basic reason why we are pro-life, the Golden Rule. Treat others as you want them to treat you. Therefore, don't kill them by abortion. And what he is also saying is that we will, in fact, be treated the way we treat others. Time brings back to us the consequences of our own actions. In other words, a nation that kills its own children cannot survive. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Who may officiate at a wedding ceremony in the Catholic Church? According to the Catechism, in the Latin tradition, a priest or a deacon are the Church's authorized ministers who preside over the ceremony and receive the consent of the two spouses in the name of the Church and give them the blessing of the Church. It is the presence of the ministers as well as the spouses which visibly expresses the fact that the marriage is an ecclesial reality. The Church normally requires that the faithful contract marriage according to the ecclesiastical form because sacramental marriage is a liturgical act, so it ought to be celebrated in the public liturgy of the Church. Marriage is a state of life in the Church, so certainty about it is a necessity. Preparation for marriage is of prime importance, says the Catechism, citing the example and teaching of parents and families as a special form of this preparation. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
On Mass Appeal, Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Now, some people say that they learn without calling, but we learn from you sometimes when you call as well. And many people do learn from your calls. Sometimes you think you're alone. You think you are the only one experiencing this problem, you know, this broken heart, this child who's left the church, this dilemma that you're trying to figure out at work, or this decision you're trying to make, but you're not. There are many, many other people out there. So if you have the courage to call today, you make that call, because your calls drive the show, and then someone else out there, maybe in some other state, in another place in the country, gets to hear that question and answer, and it helps their life as well. So who'd know by having a problem you can help someone else. So give me a call with your question or personal problem. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Usually by this time of the show, you're in line and the lines are jammed, but there are lines open right now waiting to hear from you. So here's the number to call to get on today's show, 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. I was reading this article a couple of weeks ago about dying of a broken heart. And I was absolutely surprised. But it was a time after a lot of people had called in the show, and they were very sad about things. We've had a couple sad shows over the last couple of months, and sometimes people are crying, and you know, we cry with them, and we pray with them, and some people have like deep regret about something, and that becomes sad too. So I was reading, like, how can I help these people? So I was reading this article. Says, while the idea of dying from a broken heart may strike some as nothing more than folklore, like Shakespearean folklore, it says even research has proven that you can die, you can have a broken heart, even die of a broken heart. And it said when people encounter certain distressing situations, like you know, a traumatic romantic breakup, or you know, the absolute shock of a surprise party, or the death of a loved one is what we've talked about here on the show sometimes, or even being in a car accident, like this flood of stress hormones are unleashed, and they can really take a toll on your heart. And for some people, you know, maybe they were predisposed to a weakness there anyway, that these life-threatening heart spasms can take place because of these stress hormones being so dramatically unleashed. The story spoke about one woman who had this sudden intense chest pain after she gave an emotional talk about her son's battle with mental illness. And after she gave the talk, she had to be rushed to the hospital and treated for what doctors first thought was a heart attack. But they found out she had experienced a heart malfunction, and they called it the broken heart syndrome. So interesting. How does that broken heart syndrome occur? You know, even if the patients didn't have clogged arteries, and but they did have stress hormones in their blood, many times they can suffer from broken heart syndrome. So maybe it's best not to stuff that in. Maybe we need to talk about that. So call me with your broken heart issues. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Okay, Angelo from Canada wanted to comment on our earlier caller. Welcome to the show, Angelo.
Hi, thank you for your show.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on hearing, you know, like there's male bonding is good, and you mentioned the martial arts, and I wonder if you could probably speak to how to separate out, like in a group setting, guys really get into the martial arts because it's a good exercise, and it's a fitness and healthy mind, healthy body, all that stuff. But sometimes I wonder how the philosophies in martial arts tend to undermine our Catholic faith, if you wouldn't mind speaking a bit to that.
Okay, good. That's a good question, Angelo, because many things that come from Asia or China have that blend of doing something physical, something good for the body, something to build strength, or even some things that help our health. You know, sometimes a Chinese medicine doctor can find out what's wrong with you faster than an allopathic medicine doctor. But in martial arts, you're right, it depends on the studio. Even in some exercise classes that are, you know, just regular exercise classes, they might add a yoga meditation that's Eastern meditation. So in martial arts, most of your main American studios, your standard ones, are about physical fitness and self-discipline. And even most times their idea of mind control is not about allowing a false god to control your mind or emptying your mind so some strange energy can control it, but they usually are about self-discipline and self-control. So that would be a benchmark for me if I was taking a martial arts class or had one of my children in a martial arts class. What is that message? How are they teaching the students in the martial arts class how to develop their own personal self-discipline? And if it coincides then with what we know to be the self-discipline that's in the scriptures, and if anybody talks about self-discipline a lot, it's probably St. Paul, because he was the one speaking to the pagans all the time about self-discipline, for to a people who lived for just living their feelings or living for their whims and their pleasures. And so he spoke a lot about self-discipline. And so if I was looking, you know, and assessing, does this martial arts studio that I attend or my son attends, do those ideas of self-discipline follow along with what we know to be the teachings of the scriptures, the teachings of the church, then yeah, it wouldn't be harmful to you. But when you get to the point where in an exercise class or they're asking you to meditate and empty your mind and just that you are the center rather than God being the center, then my red flags would come up, and I would either talk to the person who is giving the class to say, hey, is this rooted in some other religion? Or are, you know, whether it's Hindu or Buddhist or something else, or how can we, or are we applying Christianity to this? So if someone was saying, you know, empty your mind, for example, as you would in a Eastern meditation, you would say, let's just say, fill our minds with the strength that you know comes from the power of God, because most people here in the United States believe in God. And so knowing that our strength comes from God, our physical strength, our emotional strength, our spiritual strength comes from God, we can translate that. But if their methods and their teachings are contrary to that, and you couldn't allow that to be from God, then you know it's influenced by a religion just as much as it's influenced by the exercise. So there, I know there's a lot of groups that have Christianized martial arts as well, but the discipline itself is good. So thanks for the call. Good question. All right, you give us a call too, 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of Mass Appeal and callers on the line here right after this message.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. Detroit Catholic Central Moms and Dads Club invite you to a special evening of reflection Thursday, October 29th. Ave Maria radio host Peter Herbeck will be presenting Raising Men of Faith, What's a Parent to Do? The evening includes Mass and dinner. Please RSVP by calling 734-953-0443. It's time again for the annual Ladies Tea and Fashion Show presented by the Ladies of the Sacred Heart Byzantine Church in Livonia, Sunday, November 1st. This year's theme is A Holly Jolly Christmas, and will feature fashions by Christopher and Banks of Laurel Park. Tickets are $30. Reserve your place today by calling 734-522-3166. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077.
Do you carry that little missal, the Magnificat, with you to Mass in the morning? Do you ever wonder how this spiritual gem came to exist? Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton. Join me on Power from the Pews for the backstory of Magnificat. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Deacon Tom here with a reminder that Ave Maria Radio has some terrific gift ideas for you. Books by our hosts and our guests, recordings on CD, and our new Wi-Fi radios so you can listen to Catholic radio anywhere in the world, anytime you want, as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection. Just go to our website and click the word store in the navigation bar at the top of the page. It's an easy way to shop, and you can help Catholic radio at the same time. The website can be found at AveMariaRadio.net.
This is Mass Appeal. This is Colleen Kelly Mass, here to help you with your personal problems, offering free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show, we got some great questions. Man, if you knew what these questions were and you were driving on the way to the grocery store, you wouldn't even walk in the store. You'd stay in the parking lot and listen to the show. We've got some really good questions coming up here. Angry with the priest, the death of a child, resentment, how it can be bad for your body. All sorts of interesting things coming up here. So you give us a call with your question, too, when one of these callers hangs up. But stay on the line, everybody. We got a great show coming up here at 877-573-7825. Mary from Iowa on line 4. We're going there next. I want to help you with this before it gets stewing inside of you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Colleen.
And you know what, Mary? A lot of people will have this problem, too. I'm sure when I read that on the screen, I'm like, oh, my goodness, there's probably someone in every state who has this problem.
Oh, really?
I had it before myself.
I've just been embarrassed, but I've really been wrestling with it. And I was telling your call screener, I know better, but it's like it was just so severe that, and you're absolutely right. I, even as a retired nurse, my heart just almost stopped beating, and I was just stunned, and I almost couldn't speak for about an hour afterwards.
Oh.
And and I think what, and I told a friend, she stopped, she said, are you all right? She said, do you want me to call an ambulance?
Oh, my.
And I said, oh, no, I'll be all right, I'll be all right. And then I told another friend, because she brought my purse out, because I couldn't go back in to get it after.
Were you in church or in the rectory? Were you speaking to
them? Yes.
And he said something that really hurt you and angered
you. Oh, extremely. I just, you know, and I said, no. I know God has a reason and a purpose for this. I'll be all right. I got in touch with a hurt that happened, and you can imagine it was that, mm-hmm. that happened when I was a junior in high school. And it was just very confusing because, and I'll just share this because I hope it will help someone else, that my father died when I was young. So I just have had a lot of uncertainties about relationships and, you know, various issues. And so I'm 80.
Oh, my
so
goodness, you sound younger than that.
Oh, it's God's grace, Dr. Colleen. We just did a Jeff Cavins weekend, which was absolutely awesome. So I'm learning about divine reading, you know, Lectio Divina.
Mm-hmm.
I know to forgive our enemies and to pray for them and love them. And so my concern is really how just to rely on God's grace to help heal it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just been, I've really been depressed.
Now, how long ago did this happen?
Six
weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you were speaking with, is it your pastor or an associate pastor or someone that you work with?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, and when you said it put you back in touch with a feeling that you had when your father died. Sometimes we see our pastor as our father in a way, or we wish he would be like a father to us, one or the other, because we need father to be our spiritual father. And so that would be natural that if you're hurt in some way by the words of a person that you call father or that you hope for fatherly spiritual guidance from, and what they say hurts you very deeply, it is going to kind of just vibrate on those other hurts that you've had in the past, even when you were very young and your father died. So we have to realize that even these hurts that we have, these that when people hurt us with their words or their looks, that sometimes we bury these inside of us, that it's, you know, truly becomes a, you know, a a harmful, you know, energy in us. Just like Pope John Paul II says that virtues are a spiritual energy, like chastity is a spiritual energy, you know, that helps us advance love toward its fullest degree, he says. But hurts like this are, you know, the opposite of that. It's like a, you know, a harmful energy, and that's why that story that I was reading about how it can change your hormones, you know, that when you have, when someone says something that breaks your heart, it can change your body chemistry, because we're a whole person. We're not just, our body isn't just a container to hold our soul. I think that was a heresy way back a long time ago, that truly we are a whole person. And when someone says something that hurts us, it sometimes you get a stomach ache, sometimes you get a heartache, sometimes it hurts you deep inside the cells of your body. And so we have to then have that healed by God. And there's a book that I've mentioned on the show before too, called The Power of Healing Prayer, that reminds us to pray for specific things. And this is why the charismatic prayer groups are so popular as well, because we have wounds. We are wounded, not just our general original sin, but we're wounded along the way by people that say things that hurt us. And that's why when I started out with the hidden power of kindness, I spoke about being kind, saying kind words to others, because our words can hurt. And when I ask people to examine their conscience with the fifth commandment, I say that it isn't just murdering someone, you know, with a knife or a gun. We murder people all day with our words and our nasty looks and our emails or things that we send to them, that we hurt others when we're not being kind. And again, that hurt is the opposite of love. So here you expect love from your pastor. You expected love from your father. Your father died. Your pastor says something that hurts your feelings, and so you need to ask our Lord to heal that specifically. I wouldn't say, Mary, that it's just going to go away in time. It might, the resonation of the pain might be reduced in time, but if you stuff things like that in and just think it's going to go away, it doesn't always go away. And I would take some time, even a novena if you can, 9 days, if you have the time to do that. Are you able to get to the Adoration Chapel in your area, Mary?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, wonderful. Because that's the most peaceful, beautiful place you can find. And if you take your broken heart to our Lord, He can heal both those wounds at the same time. God can do anything, and ask for specific healing on that. And think about the wound and ask God to shed light on that. Think about the moment, since this wound's on top of another wound, the wound of your father dying. Go for that one first. Say, Lord, you know I was little. You know what I was feeling. Lord, you know how this affected me when I was a child, when my dad died. And you know that there's a wound inside my heart from that, and I'm going to ask you to heal it. I'm going to ask you to heal it now. I'm going to ask you to heal it every day for these 9 days that I do this healing novena. And then ask, you know, say a specific prayer or say, you know, just those words of prayer. And think about that wound that you had as a child and ask Jesus to shed his light on it. Because Jesus, when he enters our wounds, he heals them with his light and his love. And so then you still will know that, I mean, it doesn't change the fact that your father died when you were a child. And when you ask God to heal this wound of whatever the priest said to you that hurt your heart, it's not going to change the occurrence. And you're not going to forget it necessarily. It's not going to erase the memory. But what the pain, Jesus will take that pain, because he died for all of everyone's sins. And he will take that pain away from you in a way that you'll still experience maybe, you know, the emotion. You'll experience the memory of it, but it won't hurt you like it did originally. So I'd say 9 days, once a day in the Adoration Chapel, do a novena to ask God to particularly heal that wound. And then as you're doing that, I'd say pray for that priest that said those things that hurt you. He probably didn't mean to hurt you intentionally. He's either having I always try to think like they're having a bad day, or their blood sugar levels are off, or someone else angered them before, or they're under a lot of pressure. So you need to work also to forgive him. who did hurt you and ask God to bless him and heal him in whatever way he needs to be healed as well, so that you can truly see a spiritual father in him when this is healed and when time moves on. So thank you for the call, Mary. There are many people that carry around anger.
God bless.
God bless you too. And we're late for break. We'll be back with more of Mass Appeal right after this message.
High school seniors and college seniors, you're invited to the Ave Fall Fest, Saturday, November 21st from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. Learn about the incredible Ave Maria University Southeast Michigan Scholarship of $7,000 per year over 4 years and the generous Ave Maria School of Law Michigan Toledo Full Tuition Scholarship. Meet with an admission counselor and enjoy dinner at a Sunday bar. Registration is required, but free to attend. Visit AveMariaFoundation.org.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, the growing popularity of icons is a good thing in the church today, both East and West. This is all the more reason to preserve the integrity of how icons are seen, used, and created.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. And I say also to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This passage from Matthew describes the commission of Peter, given to him at Banias, ancient Caesarea Philippi, before the great rock of the pagan shrine, known to be one of the gates of the underworld. Realizing that the gates of hell have it in for us may give us pause, but no one has ever been attacked by a gate. It's a defensive measure. The prince of this world is on the defensive, which means that we are on the offensive. The gates of hell will not pursue us. Rather, we, the church militant, will attack the gates to set the captives free. We are already equipped and commissioned to raid and poach in Satan's territory and rescue souls out from under him. Are you ready for the task at hand?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Welcome back to Mass Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show, now there are lines open waiting to hear from you at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Got some great calls on the line, so stay tuned. Dan from Ohio, sounds like this follows the last caller pretty well. Dan, welcome to the show. You're on the air now, Dan.
Pardon me?
Yes, you're on the air now. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I talked to you a few months ago about my fiance and I, Mary, whose sister separated us. She's now but the reason I called was this morning I was at a men's group, and the priest directing the group said the same thing you did about, resentment and that type of thing can actually make your physical heart sick. And what Mary's sister has done in my case is got a restraining order using lies, complete lies, and but she did accomplish it. So I talked to the priest in confession. He said, you don't have to be a doormat. You can fight this. So that's
right.
What I'm getting. But I wanted to reiterate what the priest said. It was such a coincidence. I just walked out of this group here at the parish.
That is. God put this together.
Yeah, I turned on the radio, and there you are saying the same thing the priest said. So I thought I had to call in to kind of back that up.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dan. And God bless you in your situation, too. And follow your priest's advice. If he says you don't have to be a doormat, you can fight it like you can. And try not to let your heart be broken about this, because we all need love. We need emotional support. I'm glad you're going to the men's group at your parish, because here at Catholic Radio, none of us are alone in this. We're all here to support one another, to be there for each other, and that's why Catholic Radio is so successful, because we know that we are a support system for living the faith, and it's why pastors love having it in their parishes and bishops love having it in their dioceses, because they know that their people are being fed in a lot of different ways. So thanks so much for the call, Dan.
Yeah, to bring it back, just for a quick second, back to my own situation, the what really hurts most of all is I know Mary secretly did tell me that she loves me just recently, even though she got away. So I know it's hurting her, and that hurts me almost as much as my own pain. So if anybody can put some prayers my way, the Blessed Mother is becoming her and St. Joseph are becoming my intercessors in this situation. But anyway, if anybody out there would like to offer some prayers, I would certainly appreciate it.
Okay, we'll do that, Dan. Thanks for the call, and again, thank you for pulling this all together for us. That we know that we can't stuff in this anger and hatred or resentment, or if someone hurts us, you know, we need to give this up to God. He died for all of this evil and sin. But then we, as the body of Christ, need to be that support system. We need our families. We need our friends. We need our men's groups and our women's groups. We need to, if we know somebody going through a loss, and we'll be talking about that actually after the break here with Pam in a little bit, somebody going through a loss, and, you know, when the holiday seasons come up, you know, stay in touch with people like that. If, you know, or ask them some of their, you know, cherished memories or stories, or if you know somebody who's feeling alone, like Dan, whose family is keeping his fiance, you know, Mary, away from him, you know that as a responsibility as a parishioner, you know, ask them about, you know, how they're doing, or give them some encouragement. And that's where good Christian friendships help us as well. So good prayer, our friendship with God, our asking him to heal us, the novenas that we pray, and asking him to heal us on the inside, and then being Christ for one another, to be able to be that support system, whether you're on Catholic Radio on the airwaves or right there in person with people that need a friend right there in your parish. So be there for others like Jesus is for us. Okay, hang on, Pam and Linda. Sorry we didn't get to you. You have great questions. We will be back after the top of the hour with more of Mass Appeal at 877-573-7825.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
You might have seen a copy of the Michigan Catholic newspaper sitting in the back of your church. But have you picked one up lately? If so, you'll find we're not only Catholic news you can trust, but Catholic news you can use. Find out where your favorite priest is being assigned, read our popular Q&A columns, and learn more about your faith by reading the Michigan Catholic. Talk to your pastor or call 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
In the Battle of Jericho, God commanded that the Jewish people process with trumpets, priests, and the Ark of the Covenant around the city that they might defeat it. It may seem beyond belief that a procession of worship and praise could bring down an enemy city's walls, but that's what we are told happened in Jericho. If obedient worship of God could destroy the strongholds of Jericho, can it not do the same for the strongholds we face? We're in a battle for souls. And worship becomes a powerful weapon in our hands. It may not be visible like a sword, and we may never see walls falling down like at Jericho, but worship unleashes God's divine power that overcomes our spiritual enemies. To learn more about how God leads us into the victory of salvation in Scripture, visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan on Facebook or at cbsmich.org.
The UN Population Division agrees with Pope Francis. More contraception will not stop climate change.
Huh? What? This is Austin Russo, CFAM for the UN Minute. Abortion and contraception must be widely available to prevent a climate change Armageddon, according to some scientists. But at least one office at the UN questions these assertions that were also rejected in Laudato Si. Pope Francis's much publicized encyclical. The head of the UN Population Division issued a report earlier this year that concluded abortion and contraception will have little impact on carbon emissions and therefore so-called global warming. Paul Ehrlich, who wrote the highly influential book The Population Bomb, called the Pope's assertions raving nonsense. And that the Pope surely knows better, he says, because the Pope is not a dope. And here we have the UN agreeing with the Pope. Dogs and cats, living together. Is this a sign of the end times? This is Austin Roos of CFAM for the UN Minute. For more information, go to c-fam.org.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Our second hour of Mass Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mass, trying to face our troubles of the day and look at them in light of faith, hope, and love. We've talked to Patricia and Angelo and Mary and Dan. We've got Pam and Linda on the line, and I do want to get to them because they have a very good question. So usually I'll do the youth question, which I did get one from a college student today, but I'm going to hang on to that because both of these questions are about kids instead of from youth. So let's first chat with Pam, and then we'll chat with Linda, then we'll chat with you. So you give us a call, too, with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your faith. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. So Pam from Iowa, you're next. Welcome to the show, Pam. How can I help you today?
Well, actually, it wasn't so much asking for help. I just wanted to share a story about when my son passed away.
Oh, my goodness. How old was he when he passed away, Pam?
In 2006.
Okay. How old was he then?
37.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. So tell us your story.
Well, thank goodness I had been a Catholic and a Christian for a long, long time before this, so I knew some, not everything, but some of what the Bible taught. And one of the things is that St. Paul says in one of his letters, in all things, give thanks to God.
Oh, that's hard when your son dies, though.
Yes, it is. Obedience is part of our faith. And so, you know, while I'm crying, you know, while I can't figure it out, I'm still thanking God. And the other thing that I did was I kept praying to the Blessed Virgin and asking her for help because she knew what it was to lose a son.
Yeah, you're right.
And I will tell you this. I knew this before, you know, all this happened, but, you know, the stages of grief that they talk about, and one of them is anger, and it can be anger at, God, it can be anger at the person who died or whatever, you know, but I don't like to be angry, and God knows that, and although I went through all of the other stages of grief, I never ever was angry, not at anyone, not at, I was never angry about anything, which I thought was great.
I don't
like to be angry.
Yeah, anger is a real negative emotion.
So, I mean, I know it's, you know, it's not easy. I've been through some other things with my family. I've had 8 children, so, you know, obviously.
You've been on a roller coaster ride for quite a few years, huh, Pam?
Well, at least they're all grown up now.
They're out of the house.
I'm 70 years old. Yeah, the oldest one just turned 50.
Oh, and, right. And they're on their own, right? As my dad would say, off the payroll.
Yeah, and I live in a really small apartment, so we can't even have
can't
family
come back.
Here. We
have to, I had a friend who did
have
the
family
same
dinners
thing.
At someone else's house, which at my age and my health is great. Because, I mean, you know, it's fine with me to have it at someone else's house.
Good.
And,
well, thanks
but,
so much
you know,
for
I mean,
the. Oh, go ahead. All right, do you have something else to say before we close up here?
Well, just to reiterate that, you know, God doesn't ask us to do what's easy.
Mm.
He asks us to be obedient.
Mm.
And so even when it's at its hardest, and I had to do a similar thing, I had one of my children overdosed, and while we're driving to the hospital, you know, fortunately we got to the hospital in plenty of time and everything, but on the drive to the hospital, you know, my prayer, not out loud, but just my prayer over and over and over again was to thank God for this because I didn't know everything that was going on, everything that was involved, you know, whatever. We never know everything that's going on.
We don't. And that's how we can thank God.
Right. And he always brings good out of, matter of fact, I asked one of my daughters a year or so after my son had died, I said, so what good have you seen coming out of this? And she said, I think, you know, the brothers and sisters are closer now than we were before.
Wow.
And that was the answer that, you know, I mean, and I haven't pursued it because there's some of them that wouldn't even want to talk about it. So, you know,
right. They all process their grief in different ways.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Oh,
so just for encouragement for anybody out there that's, regardless of, you know, what kind of loss it may be, God has a reason and God can bring good out of it if you'll trust him.
Wow. Okay, thanks a lot, Pam. Hard news to take, but we will ponder that. So thank you for the call. I know that that God does bring good out of everything, but everything that happens isn't always good. It's a result of original sin. It's a result of evil and disease in the world. So that's stronger than I was at my son's funeral. I don't think I gave thanks. But I wasn't angry. I wasn't mad at God. I didn't even ask him any questions. People asked how I got through it, and I did not ask God why. I was probably too numb, so I don't think I went through the anger phase either. I was just shocked because it was so shocking. He was never sick. He just had a heart attack while he's taking a nap. And but I'm not as far as you are then when you say in all things give thanks. I actually didn't thank God for that, but I did pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary because she does know what it's like to lose a son. So I put, you know, the Pieta. I had a little plastic Pieta. I had that on my desk for a long time. But again, I probably didn't recover as well as you because I couldn't go to the Stations of the Cross for 9 years. I could not go to the Stations of the Cross because Mary holding her dead son reminded me of being in that emergency room holding my dead son. And so that triggered that emotion again, that painful emotion. So I did pray to the Blessed Virgin, and it made me not want to go to Stations because I couldn't just face that pain or be reminded of that pain over and over again. But I agree with you in that God always brings good out of what horrible things happen. And I know there's good in, you know, coming from every situation because God redeemed everything. I mean, if he can turn a crucifixion into a resurrection, we know that he can turn any pains and sorrows of our own life, and he can heal them and shed that light of the resurrection, that redeeming light, that redeeming love on any of our problems. And that's why we have to look at these problems of the day, even grief and broken hearts, in light of God's love, that he can make things good. And we know that even in the case of a death, I mean, we know that if we live the life that God wants us to live and live in obedience, as Pam tells us, that we certainly will be in eternal happiness, which has to be better than here, because this is like, a lot of people think it's like purgatory on earth, that we have our trials, we have our challenges, we need to learn how to suffer courageously and let God comfort us in our difficulties, because it does draw us closer to him. Or in the situation, as you say, draws the brothers and sisters closer to each other. So many, many things we need to address here. And that's why we're here on Masked Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show, Masked Appeal, is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And usually when I recommend the name of a book, actually I have to write that one down that I first talked about, Dr. Joseph Nicolosi on the first hour. When there's a book or a reference or something that transpired on the show and I know you're driving down the street, I will write down some of those books and references in two places where you can find them. If you're on Facebook, you can find my Facebook fan page, Colleen Kelly Mass, not my personal fan page, although there's some pictures up there this week on my personal page about being at the convention. Me and Dr. Ray were together, and I was with the bishop, and Teresa Tomeo and I had the same color jacket on the same day. So you can go to my regular Facebook page or go to my Facebook fan page, Colleen Kelly Mass, and some of the books that we recommend here on the show are there. If you're not on Facebook, you can go to my website, sexrespect.com, and under resources, under blog, I will list some of the follow-up things from the show, you know, prayers or poems that we read or different resources or references that we recommend. So you can go to sexrespect.com and learn more about what we talk about here on the radio in the resources section in the blog, or more about my work and my speaking. So things to follow up after the show for those of you that are on the internet, another way that we can communicate. But for now, it's time to drive this show. Your calls drive the show. The number to get on is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. You know what? Let's take Linda right before our break here because she's been waiting a long time. Linda from California, you have a question. We'll chat with you a little bit before our break. Go ahead, Linda. You're on the air now.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I've been recently divorced as of August, and I work 2 hours from here, which is another county. I have two teenagers. Yeah. I have two teenagers, 15 and 13, and I put the house that I live in for sale, and I'm concerned whether I should cancel the sale and let my kids finish high school here or allow the sale to go through and move with my kids to 2 hours away from here, which will be closer to my work, but at the same time, further away from their dad. Their dad is currently like less than half a mile from here, living with his girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that brings a lot of not good feelings. I'm not completely recovered from the separation.
Oh,
the final.
Yes.
It's only been 2.5 years since the. We tried to work on it. He stayed with the girl that he was caught him cheating with me on. So I'm trying to recover from that.
You do have a dilemma, Linda. Okay, you work 2 hours away, and you have two teenagers at a very vulnerable age that need supervision and attention. And your primary job right now is being a mother. Your job to make money is what you have to do to take care of the children that you have, especially in light of the recent divorce. Do you pray to let God lead you when you're making decisions, Linda?
I did, and I have been a lot more, I think, than I ever have before in my life.
Oh, that's good. Because it seems like the move is a very practical thing to do. And I wonder if it might be, you know, take this to prayer to see if it's just your fear that's holding back. If you can sell a house, that's almost a miracle anyway. And the 2 hours, is it 2 hours each way or 1 hour each way on this commute?
No, it's 2 hours each way.
Yeah. Your kids need you. They need to be near you. Sometimes transferring schools in high school is a good, fresh thing. High school is not an easy time. If they're 15 and 13, they're flexible. They will make the adjustment. And unless you can get another job that pays you that well nearby, that it sounds like your instinct is moving you the right direction to get a fresh start for all of you. It'll help you and your emotions, not having to live a half mile from your ex-husband and his mistress, and it'll get, and they, you will have more time with the kids. So I think that's my primary thing that I believe that would be your responsibility as a parent, to not spend as much time away from the kids, especially during these developing years. Their social life is going to be taken off here at age 13 and 15. You've got curfews to set. They need guidance for you, from you. And obviously, if they aren't getting the proper moral guidance from their dad, that it being spending more time with you is even going to be more crucial. So I'm leaning toward the direction you were already going, and wondering if it was, it's just a fear of the unknown, because you don't know what it's going to be like. It's scary to sell your house and move. It's scary to move to a different town. But on the other hand, if you made this decision in prayer, you're able to sell your house, that's 4 hours less on the road, 4 hours more with your kids, a new fresh start for everyone, God can bless that. And so it might just be your fear holding you back from that. I would go ahead and follow that original instinct and go toward a place where you can start fresh and you get 4 more hours with your kids per day, Linda. So pray about that, all right?
Thank you. I will. Thank you so much.
God bless you, and we'll pray for you too, with the many heartaches that come with divorce and single parenthood, and that you need the whole Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, in your presence there at all times. So we will pray for that. God bless you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. Call now and you'll get on this hour. We'll be back with more of Mast Appeal right after this message.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
Sunday's readings are about the light of Christ. Amazing Grace is one of my favorite hymns. I especially like the line, "I was blind, but now I see." One of the things I've noticed over the years is that converts sometimes see more clearly things that cradle Catholics miss, who've been seeing the truths of faith all our lives. Many of the things we see and take for granted, others don't see at all, and the need to know what we see. The first reading is a prophetic oracle of consolation to the Israelites in exile. Never forget that we have a great high priest who sympathizes with us in all our trials. And the psalm responds to this, "The Lord has done great things for us. Indeed, he has. He has filled me with joy. I was blind once, but now I see." We Catholics can have total confidence in God. We see. We see the truth. We know the truth. We've been delivered from blindness, spiritual blindness. And all our ignorance has been dispelled as the darkness is dispelled by the light of the Easter candle. In Sunday's Gospel, Jesus heals a blind man. He stands for all of us. Jesus has healed our blindness, and we can see the course of world history from creation to the Day of Judgment. Once I was hospitalized with both my eyes bandaged. Boy, was I glad when those wraps came off and I could see again. I was blind, but then I could see. I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read today at Mass. Remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
Welcome back to Mass Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show, and our lines open waiting to hear from you now, is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast here to help you today. Line 1, Jean. Welcome to the show, Jean. How can I help you?
Hello. Thank you, Dr. Colleen, for taking this call, because I just can't figure out what to do with it. I did a favor for a neighbor, and he was
so appreciative, and he said, no one's ever been able to, you know, perform it like I did. And that he wants to now buy me, he says, I'm going to give you a gift. I said, I don't want a gift. And he said, I just want to show my appreciation. I said, I know you're appreciative. And then he said, and then a few weeks later, he said, well, your gift is coming. It's being made. I said, I do not want a gift. I said, I hope it's very small. He said, and he made motion with his hand. Oh, he says, it's not big. He made, it was about 18 by 12 inches is what I could figure out. And I've been diagnosed with metastatic cancer, and I'm all right at this moment. The chemo did, it got away all the lumps, but the doctor said there's billions of cells because it's out of the it's systemic. So I go for a scan Tuesday. But anyway, my point is, now that I've kind of been on a chemo holiday, I've been going through, ripping through my house, trying to get it all cleaned out, trying to get
rid of stuff.
Yeah, and I tell him, and he knows because he saw my house before I got the cancer, and he knows how messy it was. And he says, "Wow, you're really cleaning out." But I'm not cleaning out so you can give me stuff. So I called him last Sunday because I was so nervous about it. My friend said the only way out I can see, because her take is, if he's having it made, you cannot refuse it. Now you just have to accept it. And so she said, the only way I can see out is if you call him and say, if it's not too late, can you please have the, you know, stop, have to cancel the order, because in my heart, I really don't feel like I can accept this gift. And he just, you know, I know he likes to do things in a grandiose way, because his wife had told me that one time someone just showed him the way out of the city, because he was, he needed directions, and it was a cab driver, and he gave the cab driver a $100 tip for that, just showing him out of the city. Granted, he needed that, but he needs to be shown. But you know, he'll when he's so appreciative of things, and it's not like he makes a lot of money. I mean, he lives in the same apartment building I do. You know, it's an average apartment building, and So I called him, and he says, I said, John, I'm trying to get rid of things. And he said, I don't care where you put it. You can put it in your bedroom. You can put it in the bathroom. You can put it in your car. I just want to give it to you. So I'm wondering, does that mean, because he said that I can, I don't even want to store it in the closet, that big thing, whatever it is. And I have a feeling it's a chainsaw wood thing, you know, those, because he has some of those in his apartment.
Okay.
Big things.
A wall decoration.
So, no, it was standing on the floor, a huge item. And he said, and I have a feeling whatever it is, like another friend of mine said, it'll probably have a halo on it, because they know he says, but you're going to love it. You know? Well, I could love it. I could love it a lot. There's a lot of things I love, but I can't have, I don't have them in my apartment, you know. And I'm trying to just, even if I could, I have a two-bedroom now, if I could get down to a one-bedroom before I start getting sick, if I, however, wherever that is.
Well, I respect that whole attitude toward downsizing, Jean, especially when you're sick and you want to move to a smaller place. And also, out of respect to your neighbor, who wants to give you something that, you know, you find that gift is unnecessary. But I'm going to make a different call on this one, I think. I think that due to his generosity of your neighbor, I do think you need to accept the gift. And he knows you don't have room for it. He knows you're not going to keep it there forever. He knows you're not going to live forever. But for some reason, he wants to give you this particular gift. He thought about it. He had somebody make it. And to you or I or someone else, it might think, you might think, well, this was a waste of money or a waste of time. But in terms of your neighbor's heart of generosity, he wants that fulfilled. He wants to be able to do something for you, and he can't do anything else that he can think of, but he wants you to have this gift. So accepting the gift is almost a gift to him rather than frustrating it. And people do turn down gifts. I know that happens, and for different reasons. And some of those reasons are very, very good. And some, even a similar circumstance, the answer might be to refuse the gift. But in this circumstance, it sounds like no matter how much, Gene, you've told him that you didn't want the gift, it took up too much space, there's something in him that wants to move ahead and give you this something on the wall or something that's standing around anyway. You've been very clear with your neighbor that you're trying to downsize. And so even if it sits there a month or from now till Christmas, or if you pass it on as a gift to someone else or donate it to a good cause, I think that your gratitude toward him giving you the gift would be a greater virtue right now than you're keeping the house tidy and not having it in there, because his generosity right now is taking the lead, and that virtue is good. So I would say, Gene, just drop it, drop the controversy about it, accept the gift with great love, great appreciation, wonderful gratitude. Thank God to have someone that is appreciative of what you've done, whatever, however small it may be. Then keep the gift as long as you need to and wherever you need to do that. So thanks for the call, Gene. We'll be back with more of Masked Appeal after this message.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
People like to bash the faithful with statistics. For instance, you've probably heard that studies show that Christians divorce at the same rate as others. Or how about the report that claims that Christians are bad tippers? Well, according to the University of Connecticut sociologist Bradley Wright, statements like these simply don't apply to people who actually practice their faith. For instance, only 25% of weekly church-going Catholics are divorced, compared to 50% of the general population. As for tipping, a Cornell University study found that church-going Christians tip an average of 17%. Obviously, Christians aren't perfect, but practicing our faith really does give us the grace we need to stand up against the pressures the world can apply. So the next time someone tries to bash your faith with research, take it with a grain of salt. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Nothing illustrates the powerful bond between man and wife intended by God, the creator of marriage, than these words from Matthew's Gospel. A true marriage is a sacramental bond and is therefore indissoluble. The Catholic Catechism, however, realistically acknowledges that the presence of evil can severely strain this bond. Marital union has always been threatened by discord, a spirit of domination, jealousy, infidelity, and conflicts that can escalate into hatred and separation. The original communion of Adam and Eve was ruptured by their sin of disobedience. Their relations were distorted by mutual recrimination, says the Catechism, and brought about the pain of childbirth and the toil of work. Without God's help, a man and woman cannot achieve the union of their lives for which God created them in the beginning. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Welcome back to Masked Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can call in anytime for 2 hours here. We have half an hour left, so call now to get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is a toll-free number. It's 877-573-7822. 877-725-8775. Pep Talk is the number to get on today's show. That already so many callers have called. Patricia, Angelo, Mary, Dan, Pam, Linda, Jean, and now Joe from Virginia. Welcome to the show, Joe from Virginia. How can I help you today?
Hi.
Hi, Joe. Oh, Joe as in like Little Women, Joe. The girl, Joe. Got it.
Oh, sorry.
Nope, I
wanted to make a comment about the lady who called, I guess she called me back, about moving 2 hours away from where she was because of her job and her children. And I have a little bit of a different perspective coming from working some with Child Protective Services.
Oh.
And I was just thinking that maybe she could pray that God would give her a job closer.
Mm.
I know it would be hard for her to be right there for this, her husband living with his mistress, but I think that boys around that age, oftentimes there can be some rebellion. You know, they need their father, even though he is acting in a sinful way.
Mm-hmm.
And if she were to move 2 hours away, then there might be this issue of visitation where the boys would actually, you know, possibly have to come spend the night at that home.
Ah.
Where if two blocks away, you know, maybe they can come home at night and sleep. I know it would be a sacrifice to her, but she might be given a really good example, because I think if there's, you know, maybe her husband would have to change his heart, and, or maybe she'd be a good example to her son that, you know, that she sacrificed for them. And I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay, yeah, that's a interesting view, and it's something to take into consideration. Your phone's kind of scratchy, so I do appreciate your calling to let us know that. Yeah, you're right that a young man would need a good role model as a father and a relationship with his father, but obviously this father wasn't. But you're right about the not having to spend the night if you're close by, that they could just go home each time and not be part of that scandalous relationship. So, yeah, thanks for helping us think of another view on that, Joe. I appreciate the call. So I'm sure that Linda is weighing that back and forth as well. So it's always good to have input on that. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. In the last caller, when we were speaking with Jean about the gift that she didn't want because she's trying to clean house, I was thinking of the five love languages. And you may have heard them on other shows or in different seminars and things. The five love languages a way that each of us gives and receives love. And they say that unhappiness in marriage is sometimes a root cause, has a root cause, and that is that people speak different love languages. And for one of the five love languages is gifts, that some people think they express love the best by giving gifts. Well, the problem is the sometimes receiving gifts is their love language. But if you're married to someone whose main love language is not receiving gifts, and you keep giving them gifts because you love them, they aren't hearing your love. And so be aware of that. If you have, like Jean, this was a neighbor who was grateful for something that Jean did for the neighbor. But when you're giving a gift to someone, think of what gift they would want. Think of what their love language might be. Is it receiving a gift, or is it quality time? You know, an experience. Is it an act of service that you could do for someone? Because that could be someone else's love language. Or if it's somebody in your family, maybe physical touch. They need a back rub. They need a hug. Or if you're married, you know that the physical touch is important to sustain that relationship. Another of the love languages is words of affirmation. How many people don't feel they're loved because they're never affirmed? So in those five love languages, it's good for you not to just express love the way you want to express love or the way you want to express appreciation, but the way that the recipient needs love. And that's another way we can be Christ to others, because we know that God knows us, and he knows what we need, and he gives us what we need. So when you're giving a gift to someone, or giving time to someone, giving affirmation to someone, doing service for someone, touching someone in a loving way, we want to give the gift that they receive the best in the language that they hear love. So if you are struggling in your marriage, for example, or struggling with one of your children, and you keep buying them things, buying them things, buying them things, and you wonder, how could they not know I love them because I buy them all these presents? Well, maybe your love language is giving presents, but their love language is quality time together, and they want an experience with you, a positive and good experience. Now, it doesn't mean never give them a present, and doesn't mean don't do nice things for them or don't touch them. It just means the main way that their brain is wired and their heart is wired to receive love is through either receiving a gift or a quality time experience, an act of service, or physical touch, or the words of affirmation. So be sensitive to what are the needs of the people that you love. What do they really need? And give them that, not just what you want to give, but give what how they hear love. Okay, give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. Our next caller is Bob from Cincinnati. Bob, welcome to the show. You had a comment about Linda as well. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I do financial planning for a living, so just on a practical basis, to be driving that much is over 50 cents a mile.
Mm-hmm.
So she could cut that down to an hour each way, which, of course, my second point is, to me, for a young lady or any lady, to be driving 2 hours a day each way is testing the law of averages. I mean, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But she would also be saving probably $250 to $300 a week by just getting it an hour a day. Maybe she's somewhere where she has to drive that far. But, I mean, from a financial perspective and a safety perspective, and, you know, just being hopefully logical about this, by far she's much better off by moving. But mainly the safety thing. I wouldn't want my wife driving 2 hours a day.
Hey, it's great to hear that from a financial perspective, Bob. We appreciate you calling in about that. Yeah, it's very expensive to do that and dangerous, increases your risk. So everybody looks at that differently. That's an interesting look to just financials alone and the time alone that it would be good to move closer to the job. So thanks for the call, Bob. We'll be back with more of Mast Appeal after this message.
High school seniors and college seniors, you're invited to the Ave Fall Fest, Saturday, November 21st from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. Learn about the incredible Ave Maria University Southeast Michigan Scholarship of $7,000 per year over 4 years and the generous Ave Maria School of Law Michigan Toledo Full Tuition Scholarship. Meet with an admission counselor and enjoy dinner at a Sunday bar. Registration is required, but free to attend. Visit AveMariaFoundation.org.
Here's a Family Minute with child psychologist Dr. Ray Guarendi from Ave Maria Radio.
Do kids like being disciplined? Simple answer, of course not. The experts are always telling you children want discipline. They want rules and limits and guidance and structure. I agree. Not when it's happening, they don't. When was the last time little Butkus came out of his room? Excuse me, Mother. Might I interface with you a moment? You know, I was doing some pondering while I was sitting in my room for the better part of 3 nights in a row because I can't learn to control my disrespectful mouth. I could have a mother like Edgar's mother. Gives him $25 a week for feeding a goldfish that died 6 months ago, has a wet bar in his closet, 40-foot Nintendo screen on the room. But I don't. I've got a mother like you. Old-fashioned. Expect a lot out of me. All my friends agree you're probably the strictest of all our parents. And I just love you for it. And you know what else, Mother? I think I'd like to go back in my room because I have letters of apology I want to write to all the family members I've offended. You better smell that child's breath. There's something wrong with this kid. They don't see this through our eyes. So they will resist our discipline. Parents will say to me frequently, how can I get him to understand that I'm doing this for his own good? That I'm not trying to be mean, that I love him, and that's why I'm setting these rules and expectations. And my answer is, you can't. He's a kid. And if he saw this through our eyes, he wouldn't need us as parents. He could raise himself. You could show up every couple months, give him a few suggestions, say, Bruno, take it from there, and he'd say, thank you, Mother, I most certainly will. Kids don't see this through our eyes, and that's a big reason why they resist even the most loving of our discipline. I'm Dr. Ray.
On Mast Appeal. This is Colleen Kelly Mast here to help you today with your personal problems. So call that long wait you had, waiting an hour to get on the show like some of our earlier callers did, Pam and Jean and Dan. You can get right on now because all the people that called before, they got busy signals and they gave up. So call back now. Line's open, waiting to hear from you. You can still get on less than a 20-minute wait, maybe five. We have one caller on the line, 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. Give us a call. Decide what the topics are today. We'll chat. Pam from Ohio. Welcome to the show, Pam. How can I help you today?
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if you could help me. First of all, I really want to thank this program because we're this station. My husband had been listening to this station and came into the Catholic Church and then consequently brought me back.
Oh, hallelujah. That's so good. We hear those stories over and over. God is using Catholic Radio, so welcome back, Pam.
Yeah. So my question is, though, I had been raised in the Catholic Church, and then when we as a couple for a while had attended a First Assembly of God, and when I attended there, I learned to pray, or I prayed in tongues quite a bit. And so my question is, the Catholic Church. Now that I'm in the Catholic Church, what are their suggestions on their guidance with that?
Okay, that's a good question.
In tongues and praying in tongues.
Right. And when you said Assemblies of God, it made me think of different Assemblies of God churches that I've spoken at and given my public school sex respect talk. But there are a lot of former Catholics in Assemblies of God churches. One pastor said he was former Catholic and 60% of his congregation was former Catholic, so seemed to find comfort there. But about speaking in tongues, yeah, Catholics have, some Catholics are afraid of the whole idea, but it is a scriptural idea. It is it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you have that gift of speaking in tongues, the most comfortable place where you will find that is certainly not at a rosary group or in the middle of Mass, but in a parish that has a Catholic Charismatic prayer group. Because the Catholic Charismatic movement is fully accepted by the Church, you know, and follows all the Church teachings of the Catholic Church. But when they pray, they utilize all those gifts, that gift of knowledge, the gift of healing, the gift of tongues, all the gifts that the Holy Spirit offers, manifest themselves and are accepted better in the Catholic Church within the Catholic Charismatic prayer group community. And there are lots of Catholic Charismatic groups throughout the country. Probably somebody will call in a few minutes and say, we know a Catholic Charismatic group in Ohio. You can check with your diocese. You know what the diocese is? It's like the group, like region that oversees maybe 100 parishes or so. So there would be a number of dioceses in Ohio, usually centered in some of the main cities. And your diocesan office would have help. You know, they'll have like a pro-life office or a natural family planning office, a family life office, an office for evangelization, an office maybe of church movements, maybe an office, you know, for peace and justice, office for religious education, office for Catholic schools. So each diocese will have a group of leaders that oversee different facets of the Catholic Church, and probably either the family life office or the office of evangelization would be able to help you know where is your closest Catholic Charismatic prayer group. And you'll find fellowship there. You'll find Life in the Spirit. They put on Life in the Spirit seminars. You'll find deep prayer. You'll find people who do have that gift of healing or people that will pray with you whether or not they have the gift of healing, but to draw God's healing upon you. So, but that's where usually in the Charismatic Catholic prayer services or in their Catholic prayer meetings that you'll find people with that gift of speaking in tongues, and it's not treated as weird in that setting, whereas in some Catholic settings people would think that it would kind of frighten them. So Catholic Charismatic Prayer Group is probably your place to be comfortable with that gift that you've received from God. Okay, Pam?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless you. And welcome back to the church. There's a place for everybody in so many different modes of expressing our Catholic faith. There's, you know, every parish has its rosary group, I'm sure, after Mass and before, because that's such a powerful prayer. Probably less Catholic parishes have charismatic prayer groups, but you'll certainly find wonderful spiritual food and then wonderful life in the spirit there in your Catholic charismatic prayer group. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. Thanks for calling, everybody. You're driving the show here today, as usual, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Steve from Oklahoma, you're next. Welcome to the show, Steve. How can I help you today?
Hi, how are you?
Fine. How about you?
Good. I'm doing well. I just really tuned into your show. We had Catholic Radio here for a while, and then it dropped off the channel that I used to listen to it on, and now it's back on a channel that I normally listen to something else on, so it's been a godsend, really.
Yeah, God is good. He just rises up a new station.
Yeah, so is your show. I just wanted to briefly talk about love, and I listened to what you've been saying, and I agree 100% with the relationship between a husband and a wife, and I think, though, that love is still misunderstood, and that people don't realize, and if they'd actually say what love was instead of the word love, it would really become something extraordinary in their lives. And love is, if you want to say love, in the actual way that it occurs, it is, I will put you first. Even before myself. And that's what Jesus taught. He put his life down before us. He laid down his life. And our perspective of who do we put first is the key, I think, to what love is, and all the different ways that you've put it are all signs of love, the different ways we take care of each other. But it becomes very serious when you say, I will put you first, even before myself. And it becomes very real, because love is, I think, largely misunderstood. It's mixed in with sex and emotion and all the things, the cocktail that we call love.
Yes, in this country, particularly the way we've interpreted it.
Yes, and I think if you could start a national movement that didn't say love anymore, but said I will put you first, even before myself, that it would become real, that people would know what they were actually saying, and maybe wouldn't say it if they didn't mean it.
I used to think of how it will affect the other person before you say anything.
Yeah, I mean, the way it affects yourself, if you actually know what you're saying, it just changes the meaning. It makes it real, and we reflect back to Jesus. I mean, he is the example of pure love, and there's nothing purer than laying down your life for another.
Right,
and,
exactly.
You know, giving us a route to heaven and all that he did. But I think we say, oh, I love you, and it means, like, signs of love, symptoms of love. But
emotions of love, maybe.
Emotions, yes. But when you actually say it, I will put you before myself, it makes it very serious. And I think if I knew that years ago, it would have helped me know not to say I love you in situations where I had some of the symptoms or signs, markers of love. Right. But would I actually put you in all cases before myself? And realizing that I'm going to fall down, I mean, it'll never be perfect, but that's not my goal. And my goal is I will put myself at the at an even level with you.
Yeah.
That's not love.
Yeah,
or I will
exactly.
put myself first. That's not love.
Right.
But if I will put you first and sacrifice myself for your need, then that's love. And
right.
so if we can just get rid of the word love, because
it's so misinterpreted, and or re-educate people. Like my new program is called Love Ed, and we're trying to educate people on what real love is, and that is willingness to sacrifice yourself for the good of another, for the eternal good of another, not just the instant pleasure of another or the passion of another, but truly, you know, to sacrifice yourself for the good of the other. You're right. If we change the word or help people understand the definition a little bit better, then we wouldn't throw around the word as much, and we would truly learn ourselves what love is and be able to share that. Love is patient, love is kind, love is merciful, you know, love does not put on airs. So thank you so much for that idea, Steve. We appreciate the call. God bless you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. I don't think I did the last break yet. I think it's time to go for a break, and we'll be right back after this message.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
The Heart to Heart Apostolate meets this Thursday the 29th at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. Dr. Mary Healy is an associate professor of scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit and an internationally known speaker. If you're having difficulty interpreting passages in the Bible, this talk will give inspiration and tools for reading scripture every day in conversation with God. That's this Thursday starting at 7:30 p.m. at Lobby H of Domino's Farms. All adults are welcome. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. In his address to the United States Congress, Pope Francis declared, quote, "If we want security, let us give security. If we want life, let us give life. The yardstick we use for others will be the yardstick which time will use for us. The Golden Rule also reminds us of our responsibility to protect and defend human life at every stage of its development," end quote. The Pope here gives a very basic reason why we are pro-life, the Golden Rule. Treat others as you want them to treat you. Therefore, don't kill them by abortion. And what he is also saying is that we will in fact be treated the way we treat others. Time brings back to us the consequences of our own actions. In other words, a nation that kills its own children cannot survive.
This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. We can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. Like Wendy just called from New York. We got to get to this problem before the end of the day. Two adult children who don't talk. Wendy, welcome to the show. What's going on there in your family?
I have four children, and the two oldest just have never gotten along, I guess is what you would say. And what happens is it's like we have two families. You know, they don't want to be with each other. But what complicates it is the second one, the girl, she has a mental illness, so it is hard for, you know, hard to deal with sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
For the whole family.
Yeah.
But the youngest two, they, you know, are felt, they want to have a relationship with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they'll go with one.
Oh, they have to take sides then, huh?
Well, they don't want to take sides, but they mm-hmm. don't want to lose either of them, actually.
Yeah.
So it makes it difficult, especially around the holidays or if we have a family party, because the one that has the mental illness, she just won't come because she's so hurt.
Oh.
Yeah, so I really don't know if we can do anything about it. I was just kind of thinking maybe you could give us a hint mm-hmm. what to do.
Sure. I had a couple ideas. Of course, we're going to start with prayer. You know, we will start by praying for their hearts, that their hearts are touched and healed and open to God's mercy. Remember that we are coming upon the year of mercy, Pope Francis declared. And with mercy, I think it starts December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And so praying for God's mercy that they each develop a more merciful heart would certainly be the place to begin. Another would be to sit them down, Wendy, and chat with them about it. Get them in the same room and talk about forgiveness or read some from the Prodigal Son. Or there's a story that I have posted on my website blog at sexrespect.com under the blog under resources called The Story of Forgiveness, the story about a builder that I've read before often near the holidays about bringing families together. And it's about two brothers who, you know, fell into conflict and they had this rift and they built a big fence, you know, wanted to build a fence between their houses and how that relationship was healed. So even sitting them down, talking to them, and reading that story out loud, read the story of the builder, the story of forgiveness, and just after you've prayed for them for a long time, sit them down, read them this story, and then ask them what they think can be done. And just have the two of them, not all four at that time, the two that really are at odds with each other. And when you are speaking to them, then listen to them, because what's going to happen is you could be starting a fire when that happens. You sit down, we've got to figure out a way to love one another, at least be courteous to one another and get along together. And there needs to be some forgiveness, some mercy, some healing here. Read that story of forgiveness of the builder. And then the fireworks might start because then they might go blaming. Like, well, it was her fault. Why didn't it? But you're going to have to be prepared to listen to that just like a peacemaker and then make peace. Once they've been heard, then ask them, what can we do to heal this? So pray for them and bring them together. And hopefully they're all back together by Christmas. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal at the end of the second hour here, reminding you to be Christ to others.
Mast Appeal is produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Copies can be purchased or free downloads can be found at the Ave Maria website, avemariaradio.net. If you have a comment or question for Colleen, write to Colleen at avemariaradio.net or...